See, now it's recording. Say hello.
Hello.
That's Matthew Nemro. And you can see it going there.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of it. Yes.
Absolutely. Now, you don't want to do that with yours because it records video, too, and I don't think you have that much space.
Oh, yeah?
Well, maybe he does. Not telling that his business, huh? He might have more going than one thinks. Fidelity, we're gonna get a big check, but it's gonna have some extra taxes on it. 38. It says 38 out there, Matt. That's a little on the chilly side of cold.
Oh boy.
It's not freezing, but it's getting a lot closer than we're accustomed to, that's for sure. I said it's gonna be real.
Is it
out there? Huh?
How old is it out there?
Matt says it's 38.
Oh,
that's what Matt's thing says. Yeah? Okay, we're already recording.
I need to get my jacket.
That Matt. I'm not up to using my little bomber thing that covers my ears. But I might get that. Never know when. So yeah.
I need my sunglasses. Excuse me.
Kissable from a honey bunny. Alright, Matt. You about ready to partay? Let's make it happen, buddy. Let's make that sucker happen. Alright. We're not in there. Plus, it's those LED lights. It's not like it takes 5,000 watts to get it started. You don't want to turn them off after that to turn them back on again. LEDs are rather good. Efficient little boogers. Oh. Yeah? That's nice. Oh. So, yeah. It was a good conference, and I always have to tell myself, well, just don't fret the travel. The travel to and from's always weird. So. The Metrolink. The afternoon trip was a lot better. There was a lot more of a mix of people. The one on Sunday night in the evening was just a... I don't mean to be racist, but it was honest. There was a bunch of black people. And there was a lot of... I apologize.
I don't like
Yes, ma'am. But how am I supposed to block you from people trying to run you over?
I'll jump in front of you.
Ah, there we go.
Or jump behind you and say, shoot me!
I've got so many responsibilities, they're kind of contradictory sometimes. But yeah, they're, and then yeah, the kids that were selling drugs. And the people going on the train for just a stop or two to try to panhandle to get some money, because apparently it's illegal, but they don't keep transit cops on the trains on Sunday evenings. So it's kind of, it was interesting. I gave a guy $1, which is all I had in the way of cash. But yeah, I'm sorry to say that most of my sessions, I find myself continually going back to professional development ones.
Somebody's hat now.
And that's because somebody, that's just, I don't know. Just the constant thing that I, you know. I'm not really much interested in my job from, you know, oh, well, don't you want to do a great job? And you go, not saying I don't do a good job. It says that I like what I do. You go, but that was mostly from the past, you know. I was a gunslinger when they needed a gunslinger. So like every other gunslinger, you hire them to come into town and do that job, and then they really need to leave, you know. He says, trust me, I want to leave. And to a certain extent, they probably want me to leave too.
I don't know.
Except that they're scared to death they won't be able to. They won't be able to get a person that can at least do the basics. So, and yeah, now it's just getting down to garbage maintenance, which I hate. You know, let somebody else do garbage maintenance jobs. I don't want to do garbage maintenance. But I said, no. At least she doesn't want me to change jobs particularly. She likes her income, says nothing wrong with that. And you go, I can't go too crazy at all because I'll be, you know, I don't want to, yeah, I don't want to jeopardize the pension.
Yeah, I know.
Because the pension's the wonderful thing that...
That's why I went to the table.
All too soon, I'll be, you know, I'll be,
Ready to retire?
Well, not retire, but I want to do something else. And I'd much rather it be something of my choosing rather than circumstances forcing it.
Right.
Like most of life is. Most of life's a whole bunch of, well, there's this and there's this and there's the weighing and stuff like that. And so yeah, I'm not gonna. I want to get to that phase of life, but I know that that's not. I'm impatient. I'm not in the cards yet. Although, after about 5 years or so, 5 or 6 years, I would qualify for my retirement, and then I could do something else if I wanted to and just not start taking my retirement until I'm 60. It doesn't mean I have to work up until I'm 60. I just can't without penalty. Yeah, I need to leave it there until I'm 60. I will have gotten the service time and the age in to do it. So things kind of loosen up there. So we'll just have to see what happens. It's tempting to put that $6,000 check in the Coffice account.
So it'll kind of increase the free money.
Yeah, so it can get better interest, because those savings accounts don't get nothing.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah, and I said, well, you know what, we should just keep it right in the checking account for now.
Because I wouldn't include it in my checkbook, and I told them about my checkbook.
Yeah. Because it gets better interest in there.
I know.
Or, oh, this is slightly dicey here. I don't think I do it with the whole thing, but it's tempting from the standpoint of money I wasn't really counting on in the first place. If you put it into some Eastern European banks behaving really nicely, and they have to put it into their local currency. But they're getting about 10% interest. Because your economies are, you know, after the fall of communism and all that stuff.
Here.
Their economy is really starting to rock.
Yeah, no.
What? Is she gonna make mom do it? What? What kind of guy are you? I thought you wanted to be independent, man. Can't be independent when your mother's digging crap out of your shoes. That's not independent.
Broke my nail, man.
Yeah. Take your own glove off. You do it, man. I want you to be as independent as you can, man. You get served quite enough. You've got a comfortable little nest of a world, and You need to do as much as you can.
That's good.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's good.
I apologize about that. Yes, ma'am. I'm here to serve. Yeah, but there's some stuff that needs doing. Oracle, the next Oracle update needs doing. There's apparently an application that's having big problems and we need to kind of avoid it. Or just know what's going to happen. It's going to have its logs dumped on a regular basis. This guy said, just avoid it. And they're going, I can put in a script just to dump logs on a regular basis. If that's really the only thing that we're seeing as the problem, is the fact that logs are going futzy. He says, I can handle that. That's just a normal Linux thing that you can do. Let's work on other things. What, 6 or 7 years? Nothing to that. The biggest thing is don't get into Joe trouble, which is, you know, get to the point to where you just feel like you can't handle it anymore. Yeah, and then all of a sudden you put your family into the hawk. And so, that was tricky. That was very tricky. So yeah, I'm going to avoid that. Which means I may just, you know, the first 2 or 3 years at New Mexico State, I was doing a lot of amazing stuff, you know, woohoo and all that, and then I think I was just cruising the last 5 for just, you know, I was getting the job done. I was still getting the whole accolades of what it is, but yeah, was I doing amazing initiatives and stuff like that? So, no, I was doing okay. That was when I was doing, you know, I wrote a book, and I did other stuff. The keynote speech at this thing was about the work-life balance, and this lady was saying, there ain't no balance. And she said, you just have to work on, you know, you have to work on one or the other or both. Hers is mostly about time management, you know, about, oh, well, you need to put all the stuff into, you know, it's all the crap about, oh, my gosh. They tell you you've only got 24 hours in a day, but they want you to micromanage it so dang hard that, you know, you buy a few hours for your employer. you know, it's all about productivity. You know, I don't think it's about productivity either. For me, it's about if I'm trying to do too much. I think this is true of most people. I don't think it's unique to me. If you try to do too much, if your plate's stuffed too full, you're just doing a bad job all over the place with everybody, family, and everything else, and work, and everything. And you go, yeah, you don't do that. So trust me, your business would love you to stay there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and work constantly. They would love that. So that's where their encouragement comes from, is being like that. And you go, fight the impulse to make your boss particularly happy. But I got a good boss, you know. He's a guy that kind of is, nope, you don't need to be here. I guess I'm gone. So I must say, I don't know, like a cardboard, I guess. I ain't going to step on it in case something weird flies out. Just don't know. Anyway. So yeah, maybe I'll do it that way. Work on other stuff. Concentrate on other needs. See what comes. I was trying for a while there. I forget what that scripture is. I'm sure it's in Psalms or some such. About, you know, casting your bread upon the waters and it'll come back to you. And I was trying to do that, you know. I was saying, well, I don't want to turn my... At this point, I have less of an incentive to try to turn my writing into some kind of weird business, you know. Says, trust me, people who have read my stuff say, oh, that's really good. So how would you market it? And they'd go, and it was a guy from BYU who did it. And he says, I just don't have a clue. There really isn't an established market for this. You'd almost have to make one. And it's like, well, you know what? That might have been important to me 10 or 15 years ago when I was hoping to make a lifestyle out of this stuff. And you go, but I'm getting to the point where I don't have to. You know? We're living in an inexpensive place. So here's Matt. I'll leave you to that. You know, where most people make about half as much as I do, and they say, well, when you retire, your income drops by half, and you go, sounds like I'm in the right place for my income to drop in half. Now I gotta get Lisa's gas fireplace. I'm sorry to say that I am absolutely indifferent to your porch. I think your porch in the back is the one that you really want. But I'm here to serve you, but you'll have to understand that that porch may require a lot more effort than you're really willing to stick in, at least. But I'm here to serve you. If you really want it, we'll do something about it. But I think it's going to cost way too much. And I think you're going to end up building it, and we'll never use it. And I'm sorry. unless you're planning on selling this house for a significant profit, curb appeal is meaningless.
I'd like to be able to drive up to my house and say, what a great house you're living in.
Oh, that's a really expensive thing to do. That's a really expensive attitude to have. You don't even drive up to the front of your house.
I drive by it all the time.
Yes, ma'am.
I go out to get my mail.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Well, what would you like to contribute to it?
Besides designing things?
Well, that's the easy part. Yeah.
I can paint.
You can paint.
I'm not very good.
You're not very good. See?
I'm
well,
sorry,
I'm
sorry.
Oh. Yeah? Just know that all these projects come out of my hide, okay?
Uh-huh.
That'll be nice to me. Don't make my life too miserable. But I love you.
47.
That's not bad. So, anyway. And you don't want me really doing it, so you want me to get to make the money to get somebody else to do it. But it's your decision. I'm here to serve. I'm not here to have an opinion. Not my life. Somebody else's life. What? Anything different? It's a little windy. We're catching a little wind. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So, let's start changing gears. Working on things. Yahoo! Yeah, freaking who? Oh.
I just one more hill. Yeah.
So I'll probably keep pulling the occasional rabbit out of the hat because that is my nature.
Yeah.
But it's going to be kind of a barrow thing, you know? Anytime they're about 6 inches away from firing my butt for something, which I hope never comes because it's like, eh. Pull a rabbit out of the hat, make him say, oh, we would never survive without you there. It's like, yep. We'll keep around for, you know. Good job, Wesley. Sleep well, most likely 3 in the morning type thing. And you go, yep, been there for 5 years. Take kind of a Mickey attitude to life. Mickey's been there. I think he's the person who has now been there the longest besides Justin. And you're going, he's got the anti-job. He takes care of some stuff. He says, but I can't, you know. No, I can't be Mickey because I've got some self-respect, you know, to myself. The last project he had, they finally just put the kibosh on the people who wanted it, which I didn't want it anymore, and you go, God, good. Which is, I think, it was the way he was thinking, too. Not that he wasn't getting to it. Anyway, so, I am working on things. Do the job, but don't kill myself doing it. Like I said, I got. Not quite 8 years left. I'll get through this thing. Yeah, so it's like, well, you know, work on the next book. Work on this, work on that. Look at the essay. Cast your bed on the wall. So they'll come back to you and go, you know, so that, you know, I'm not sure I want it to get any kind of financial thing because then it'll be like, okay, well, you got to go on this speaking tour. You got to go do this, do that, go book signings, crap like that. And you're going, I'm not really interested in that. I don't want to get stuck in the trap of not doing things because of the tax burden. It's always worth it to go ahead and do it and take the tax bite because you're making more money than they're taking. It may not seem like much more, but it's still more. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. But yeah, for just the whole thing of, you know, you start becoming this thing that's all about eking the most money out of these things as you possibly can. I remember this one guy had done this blog, and he had done this novel series. Says, and they were published by a publisher, not by me. Says, and it was a 10-book series. And he said, everything I put into it, everything I did, he goes, do you know how much I netted from it? After everything was said and done, I got about $10,000 from it. And he said, absolute. From a cost-benefit ratio, a worthless waste of my time. Because now, I was going to ride anyway because I wanted to. And you go, but yeah, for all you people who are doing writing because you think you're going to become rich, you're going to become the next J.K. Rowling, I said, maybe. I said, I'm not saying you can't. But what I'm saying is, that's more of a lightning strike. Because the chances are, you'll put in just as much work and get practically nothing for it. And not even, he says, have you ever heard of me? Have you ever heard of my books? No. And you go, yeah, there's probably a couple of, you know, there's 10,000 people or so who read my books. Yeah, I think you've had power for each one of them. So that's just peachy. You know, that's just great, whatever. He goes, yeah. You know, so make sure you're doing the writing because it's something you want to do and it's something you enjoy. It's just because, yeah, the chance of it ever becoming good money is about zilch. And people have been talking about it. I said, you know, it used to be writing articles for magazines. Yeah, you know, like, I used to follow a couple of technical guys that would do that. And they said, oh, yeah. I said, the money was excellent back in the 60s and 70s. It was fantastic. You could make a pretty decent living. And yeah, they said they came back and said now they've dropped the rate so horribly. Yeah, not even that half the time. And they said, yeah. And they said, no. I said, it's no kind of living now. So it's sad. I said, and it's funny. It says there's no logical reason why things should have changed like that, but they did. Yeah. Yeah. Music. So yeah. Music's garbage now.
Yeah,
that's right. And said, you know. The Taylor Swifts of the world. She was probably the last person that it was really that big of a thing. Even if you got a couple of record deals. And he actually came through on them.
Sure.
It really doesn't. Yeah, it says touring makes money, but you got to be a big.
Yeah,
you got to be a big name, or you've got to be willing to put yourself into the hands of these people and let them make you into what they want. It's really profitable, and that's what Taylor Swift did. She put herself into their hands. She leads something of a greasy life because that keeps the tabloids interested in her. You know, stuff like that. And yeah, you get some fame. And here's your other problem. Let's say you really wanted to get kind of a Vegas gig, you know. You go home every night after your big concert. People come to Vegas to come see you as one of the headline acts. Says, but you're still competing with people who were doing this 25, 30 years ago. You're going up against Donnie and Marie, who just recently stopped because they were just tired. And they said, I've been doing this for 30 years. And you're going, well, I've only been doing it for 5. And they go, good luck to you. You know? And you're going, you're competing against people who have multi-generational appeal. And you're just popular with one generation. And yeah, so then, yeah. The problem is your generation's just a dang pickle. Says the generation I came from, you know, Donnie's still got all these women who went, when he was 7. and they constitute the bulk of their audience. And keep coming back. And you go, your generation isn't like that. They want the newest thing. So you're already a little on the old side for them. But that's the generation that's expected to keep coming and coming and coming and coming to keep, to keep the coffers going. And you're going, people just aren't as like that anymore. The newer generations are like, you know, they're just pretty little moths. They're just running to the next big thing. And so as soon as you're not the big thing, they're gone to the next one. They want new and novel. They don't want something comfortable, or at least they're not proving that way. They may get that way later, but they're probably not going to settle on you for being the thing that they're comfortable with. Especially your quasi-teen angst garbage. You know? After a while, that's just not how people feel about life after a while, because they can't. People who feel the way you do, they blow their brains out by the time they're 30. Because they go, you know, life sucks, and I've got a boyfriend I can't stand, and you're going, well, yeah. That everybody goes to therapy now. They don't use music as their therapy. They pay somebody to tell them to move on from their past. You're their past, so they're going to move on. Yeah? Oh, okay.
Very soothing.
Yeah? Yeah, there you go. But how many people now listen to the Braveheart soundtrack? It was so popular at the time. And you go, not very many. So it came and it left. It isn't like Rodgers and Hammerstein for some reason, but I think it was more of a generational thing. Rodgers and Hammerstein, those are still more popular than the newer stuff. Even the newer stuff is probably, technically, better. You know? Or, I don't know, have more of those elements that are supposed to be so amazing, you know? Yeah. And you're going, yeah. I said, but these people had phases. The music industry used to be nothing. I said, hired servants played music at the hall for your dinner. It was part of you throwing some kind of feast, right? After a joust. You would just, in fact, you probably had 2 or 3 servants that knew how to pluck out a tune. And that was it. That was your music. And it kind of morphed from that. And then from, like the 1950s to the 1990s. Yeah, good morning. There was it became this amazing thing. Came with the advent of radio and high fidelity radio, FM pretty much, and relatively inexpensive travel to other places, you know. You didn't have to try to make money off of people who were willing to keep shelling it out in Pittsburgh. because you were, because all bands were local back then.
Yeah.
Right, it just started being this one little thing, but it was like, people are going to get tired really fast, you know? Your, like, rise to fame happened because of radio and because of the fact that you could economically travel to where new people were. Because the whole thing was, okay, where's, you know, the poor lead guy kind of knew what was going on. He was all ready for his next record, but he was this, you know, he was this moody guy, was where the best songs come from. But yeah, a guy destined to blow his brains out before he's 30, you know, because he's got too much freaking drama in his life. He writes songs about it, and they make lots of money. You really kind of want to be his kid. But don't get too close to him and hope you didn't get much of his genes, because you know what? You're going to end up doing the same thing and probably having it worse, because you probably can't write that way. Yeah. Kind of like that, Uptown Girl movie. You know? A bunch of people that weren't really going to be able to make it. Every modern girl's dream as yes, every Lifetime movie, that's what it is. That's right, and you're going, so what happens when being famous is really kind of a weird thing and there's not enough of them for you to get noticed? And you go, yeah, those days are kind of numbered too. So, anyway. Yeah. The heyday for the world, as far as I'm aware of, was the 1950s. Anything was possible. You had the right sort of people with the right sort of mindset for amazing things to come to pass. And we've been living off the backside of the 50s for 60 years. And there's not much left. The Beach Boys are still more popular than most of the top bands today. They could still bring a better draw. And you're going, it's just the way it is. And you go, is it a generational thing? Is it probably? What are you going to do? And you go, nothing. Can we get that back? And you go, no. I guess, I don't know. And the world's starting to fling apart. Get over with.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who think that, I think. But... enough. Oh, good. I'm glad to feel that way. I look forward to that, too. Keeps me going. Yeah, but it's funny because I say, okay, so when I get home, what exactly do I end up doing? I says, oh, a little of this, a little of that, and I'm just there. I see, I don't get that. But that's okay. I don't have to get it. The fact that it works is good enough. That might be it. Of course, in the 1950s, everything basically worked. You know? There was some corruption, but there wasn't a ton of it. You know? Yeah, people go, oh, but you're just being nostalgic. Nostalgia, that isn't real, and you go, you know what, I think you're actually wrong. I said, you know, and you're going, it was probably the time that had the best mix of circumstances. Yeah. Oh, you had your outlier people. You had trouble. But yeah. And you're going, no. I said, things were happening then that were right. Said, the 50s, there was no talk about efficiency. There was no talk about productivity. People had one job that they did for their whole lives. And they raised a family off of that. Right. And you go, there was entirely different ethic about the world. Where do we take a wrong turn? You go, I don't know. I said, but it happened in the 60s. I said, yeah. Everybody going nuts and deciding that the world needed to change. And you go, you know what? We shouldn't have bothered. We should have just gone and done something else besides trying to fix the world. The world was not that bad. If people from the 50s had a vision and saw what it was like today, they would have sat on their hands and went on more cruises or something. Instead of changing the world, they would have gone, that was a stupid idea. That was a dumb idea. But they didn't. It's okay. People say, well, God allowed it to happen. You go, yeah, that's right. He's not going to interfere with it. He'll bless those who come to him seeking blessings. You all right?
I'm always out of breath when I go for the big road.
Interesting.
But...
you think it's getting better? No.
No. But that's part of that hypothyroid.
No.
One of the symptoms is the shortness of breath.
Oh.
So
you're still not getting enough.
dare not take more than what I'm taking right now.
Okay. Well, there's a whole bunch of people that never had this stuff, and they would just be lethargic all the time. So, anyway, yeah. And you're going, are we going to fix things? And you go, well, no, sure, some things will improve. Trust me. The ingenuity of people is something upon which one can depend. As long as you guys quit thinking that your neighbor's evil, that we all need to live in, you know, live like Indians in the teepees. Because I'm sorry, you ain't an Indian. And the modern manifestation, you know, when people all talk about the wonderful world we could have with socialism, and you're going, you need to look at Native Americans. You need to work at those wonderful guys that we've been throwing money at for years, and take a look at them and see what their attitude is, how they feel about this stuff, the kettle off they lead, and say, is that what you're after? Because that's what you want. Hi there, guys. Yeah. Oh, doggy's gone wild. I look at your porch kind of like dogs, Lee. I know it gives you something. But, I don't know if you're going to be very happy with the trade-off, and I'm kind of concerned that when it comes time for the trade-off, it's going to be me doing the bulk of the trading. Just doesn't look very good. We need to repaint it. Okay. And I'll probably repaint it. And it's like, okay. I didn't even ask for this, but here it is. It's before me. Has to be maintained. It's my job. I'm maintenance. So. Just be nice to me, okay? If you're going to give me a lot of extra work, be nice to me. Oh, Missouri, I was just there. Missouri license plate on the front of a truck. Mm-hmm. Yep, yep, yep. I was. Oh, I found out about the seal.
Yeah, you think it's a
seal? Oh, do I?
Yeah.
Oh, about the whole thing.
Yeah.
See? I'm better than I think I am. Probably because I do things right at the moment. Because I don't remember them later, particularly. Oh. See, isn't it funny? Somebody invariably will have thought the same thought and written about it before you even got there. It's a funny, funny world that way. Just goes to show you, says, when people say, I'm so unique and special, and you go, you know what, probably not. You go, but don't beat yourself up about not being that way. Most of us aren't. We get most of our attitudes by looking around at other people anyway. Grass is always greener on the other side. So you look at the other people on the other side and you tend to adopt their ways, hoping that your grass will grow as green as theirs is. And it doesn't. It's my fault because I don't want it to run. But ta-da! That's kind of the way it ends up being. was going to paint the inside of the barn over in Talon. Try to take care of some of the weird graffiti. Well, now it's pointless if I'm going to, you know, I don't really care. I was going to do it before the open house. That was the point. But I didn't make it. It's like, just another thing where it's like, if somebody really doesn't want the place, here's another reason why they won't want the place. It says, as far as I'm aware, this place is basically going to sell to somebody who says, well, this is really the only place this size I can buy with the amount of money I have available to me. And they go, yeah. I says, it's not going to sell because it's beautiful. It's going to sell because it's necessary. Like it was for us. If Lisa would have had other choices, she wouldn't have taken that house. So yeah, the chances are excellent. After this open house is over, I'll give it a couple of weeks, and then I'll ask her how long we have on our contract. So, yeah, I'm exploring my other options. Sitting around in the place. I want to give you the full, you know, your full time. I don't want us just to drop the listing before you're supposed to. I feel like that's being disingenuous to you. He says, but yeah, he says, I'm not going to be rooming on it. No? There's no fee. No? Not usually. You might have to, but only if you agree to. Oh, everything is kind of fluid when it comes to those papers. If she doesn't want to spend any more time on it, she can always say, you know what, I'm not going to list your place anymore. It's like, okay. That's no penalization. I'm not out anything. And she's, well, that's why. It's because I really want this open house to kind of come off for her. Give her a good chance. Although I kind of question her logic, I'm sitting here saying, well, she's done this more than you have. And you go, okay, because I would have pushed it more in the summer just before. Yeah, because new instructors coming in, stuff like that. But you know what? These new professors, they were probably trying to say, hey, I know you.
Yeah,
you're going on horn when you want everybody to watch you. Doing something dangerous. They're saying, hey, there's something dangerous here. I know, but people are people. What are you going to do? Anyway, yeah, but I, the new breed of professors tend to, they're just evolved students. They're going to come, they're going to rent. The chance of them sticking around for a long time are much less than the old times. You know, you have your faculty, and it's shrinking, that have been there for 20, 25 years, right? They took this was their first or their second job out of their PhD, and they just got settled and happy. But yeah, they're all old, and a lot of them are retiring now. And the other people, the newer ones that they're hiring, they're coming to school here to get a little bit of experience before they go someplace else and do something else.
Yeah.
So their tendency to buy a house is rather low.
Yeah.
So, honestly, there really isn't much of a market for these houses. Especially mine, yeah, I'm sorry, mine's not a looker. And in Portales, you can rent a really nice house. Or at least an interesting house. That's what all the draw rocks do. You know. They don't care. They're perfectly willing to pay a fortune for it. I don't get it. It's like, I think you're the stupidest people I've ever known. Yeah. Oh, I'm cramping. Yeah, and I keep thinking, you know, us putting up that security door on the front of the house was good for us, but it sends the wrong message. It makes people think that it's a bad neighborhood. And you go, not really. So I'm most annoyed by all the neighbors' grandkids who can't seem to stay out of my yard. And they prefer playing in front of our house because it's got a sidewalk.
Yeah.
That's the funniest part. I said, so yeah, I'll see if I can get the elders to get the mission office take over. Making it for me, I'll give him a decent deal. A whole lot better than me just paying for it out of my pocket for no reason. You know, when people say, well, you need to charge him at least $1,200, and you go, yeah, I might. He says, but I might not. It's because I'm living there too, you know. I'm not wanting to make money off of this. I'm just wanting to make it so that my bills go down. Okay.